Hi, thanks for hitting play on this latest podcast. I'm Jeff Davis. We're crossing the Pacific Ocean, in a sense, by way of Napa, as South Australia's Two Hands Wines is the topic on The Wine Road. The genesis of this interview with Tim Hauer of Two Hands Wines in the Barossa Valley of South Australia goes back decades ago when I first got into radio with his brother Scott in Tucson, Arizona. Scott surprised me last year saying his brother is now part owner of a winery in Australia and asked if I would like to interview him. Well, I couldn't pass that up. Tim lives in Denver but comes to Napa once a year to pick up some shipments from Australia, so we just met a couple of weeks ago and talked at the Westin Barossa in Napa. The first obvious question I thought to ask was, how does a guy in the energy business in the U.S. end up owning part of a winery in South Australia?
Well, my background is in energy. I'm still in energy. It's still my day job, oil and gas. And over the years, I've done a lot of consulting work in Australia. I've made the trip from the U.S. down to Australia over 100 times since about 1992. And when you go down to Australia, you're going so far, you generally stay around for 2 or 3 weeks. So that meant you got to find some things to do on the weekend and occupy your time. And that was either going to the beach or going out to the Barossa Valley or McLaren Vale to drink some wine. And I've always had a passion for Napa Cabs and Barossa Shiraz. Those were my two go-to wines. And so during my time in Australia, I would try to get out and visit the wineries and get to know the different wineries, the different wines, and taste them and enjoy them. About 5 years ago, I decided to buy some vineyards, and I bought a couple of vineyards, not having any relationship with the winery, just decided to become a farmer in Australia and own some dirt. And
that's a long way to go from Denver to go play in the dirt.
It is. And I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. But the people in the Barossa are very down to earth, and they're very welcoming, and they were very happy to help. And I was like a little kid at Christmas during my first harvest. I chased the harvester around and picked up any grapes that fell out and ran and threw them back in. And then followed the truck with the fruit over to the weighbridge at the winery and watched the whole process, and I really loved it. But when you own a vineyard, you're a farmer, and you have to sell your fruit to somebody. So my vineyards came with existing contracts, and I wanted to explore the possibility of selling my fruit to other wineries that I had come to know and really enjoy drinking their wines over the time that I'd been spending in Australia. And Two Hands was one of those. I had been a big fan of Two Hands. I went in through the front door of the tasting room and was a regular customer and really enjoyed the wines, and decided to seek out Michael Twelvetree, who was the owner of Two Hands, and just start up a relationship to see if he'd be interested in buying some fruit from my vineyards. And one thing led to another. Michael's original partner in Two Hands had decided that he wanted to move on and do something else, so the timing was perfect. So 5 years ago, I bought the vineyards, and 3 years ago, through that relationship, joined Two Hands.
I think I saw that you have professed to be a groupie even at that point.
That's very true. And I actually had to, every time I go out to the Barossa Valley, that's where I wanted to go, to Two Hands. And I kind of had a friend who would go out tasting with me, and we kind of decided we had to start going to some other tasting rooms, because it was getting a little obvious that every time we came out, we'd go there. But it's a different experience at Two Hands. It's that's one of the things I liked about it. It was the culture. It was the way they do their tastings. So many of the tasting rooms in Australia, you sort of walk up to a high bar and you elbow your way in, and they pour you a little bit of wine and you taste it. You move your way down the flight and off you go in about 20, 30 minutes. Whereas at Two Hands, you sit down and you go through a very structured flight of wines. It's a process that takes about 2 hours, but it's a lot of fun. and you really get to taste the wines and experience the diversity of the wines that Two Hands make. So it was and still is for me an enjoyable experience to do it.
As you may have noticed out here, more and more wineries are doing that sit-down experience and taking some time, at least an hour, if not longer. And man, for a groupie, what a dream come true when you actually were able to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Like I said, it was right place, right time, serendipity. It was just, I feel very, very fortunate, very blessed that this opportunity came together and I was able to become a part of the Two Hands team.
At this point, I brought up a story I read about how Two Hands offered Tim a welcoming gesture when he joined the business.
Yeah, we have a big flagpole outside of our winery in our tasting room, and we have flags of different nations that we keep. If there's VIPs that come over or a big group comes in, say from Canada or England, we'll put their flag up on the flagpole. So I closed on my all the paperwork and the investment in joining Two Hands, and then drove out to the Barossa Valley to go see the team and say hi and introduce myself. And when I pulled up to the tasting room, they had the American flag up on the flagpole for me, and I thought that was really, really nice. I parked my car, stepped back, took a picture of it, and I have that picture framed and in my office. But the joy of that was pretty short-lived, because as soon as I walked in the tasting room, they gave me an apron and told me to start washing and drying glasses, because it was a busy day and they were short-handed. So I was happy to do it.
Yeah. When it's your own company, you don't mind getting your hands dirty.
Nope. Absolutely. I have to say, every time I go to Australia, I go down about 5 or 6 times a year for the harvest, for various board meetings. And every time I try to spend as much time in the tasting room as I can, usually on the weekends, because that's when we're busiest and I usually don't have any other meetings to go to. And it's fun. It's just fun to be in there and working and talking to people and meeting the people that have come through the front door to try you wine.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's nice to get that immediate reaction from people when they're happy and thrilled with what they're tasting. But also for them, it's nice to talk with someone who's part of ownership or the winemaker, and I think they get a real kick out of that.
Yeah, it is. As I said, you know, my previous career was in oil and gas, and we're not always the most popular kids on the block. You know, lately, with environmental concerns and what have you, people throw rocks at us. So it's nice to be in a different industry where people actually come in and want to try your product and really enjoy your product. And there's an instantaneous feedback that obviously in oil and gas, I don't get that. But in wine, you pour somebody a glass of wine and you taste it with them, and then you get their opinion. And they like it, they might not like it, but it's very instantaneous, it's very personal. And I love that. I thrive on that. I think it's really unique and something I've not had the ability to experience in anything I've done before in my life.
As I said in our email exchanges, one of my favorite wine-growing regions is the Barossa Valley, so I was thrilled to hear you were working there. And often here around wine country, people will ask, what's your epiphany wine? The wine that turned that switch in your head that just made you realize, oh, there's so much more going on with wine than I realized. And mine was an 06 Betts & Scholl Grenache an old vine Grenache from the Barossa Valley. That was in 2009, and that's partially what led me to be here now in wine country in Northern California.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess looking back over the years and trying to think what I would call my epiphany wine, it would probably be Abbott's Prayer, which is a wine made by Hinschke, an Eden Valley winemaker. And I just remembered I was working at Santos. Santos is one of the big oil and gas companies in Australia. And I went and talked to some of the folks there and said, hey, I'm going out to the wine country this weekend. What do you recommend I try? What wine should I not leave without trying? They recommended Abbott's Prayer. And I remember I tried that and thought, wow, this is really good. This is different. This is, you know, something that I want to find out more about. And Hinschke, is still one of my favorite winemakers in Australia. They make a beautiful range of wines, and that's still one of them.
I have not had the chance to try Abbott's Prayer, but I certainly got to taste quite a bit of Two Hands wines. Tim had 7 bottles open for me, featuring 5 different series of Grenache and Shiraz varieties. Turns out they vary in price from about $25 for their flagship wines, upwards of $110 for their single vineyard wines. I asked him to give me some detail about the wines and why he chose them.
I brought these wines to sort of showcase two of the goals we have at Two Hands in making our wines. One is to really celebrate and showcase the regional diversity. That's how, when Michael Twelvetree and his original partner started Two Hands, their mission was to make Shiraz from different regions within South Australia and really celebrate that diversity. Not everybody does that. Sometimes you look at the back of a bottle of wine and it's just grapes from South Australia. You really don't know where they're from. But South Australia has some very different microclimates. So what I've set up here is sort of a side-by-side of a couple of those different microclimates, one being McLaren Vale. So McLaren Vale is located south of the city of Adelaide, and it's along the sea, along the ocean. So the temperatures are cooler. You get cool maritime sea breezes at night. And generally, you tend to get a softer, perhaps a more elegant wine from McLaren Vale for a given vintage when you pair it next to a Barossa wine. The Barossa is an hour or so inland, hot Mediterranean climate, those 40 degrees Celsius days, and you tend to get a bold wine. Not bad way, not in a bad way, just a bold wine that reaches out and talks to you and says, you want to drink this. So it's interesting to taste those side by side. And then we've also got just some different series that we make. The first two wines are Grenache. We have a Grenache from McLaren Vale, and then a Grenache from Barossa Valley, which is our flagship Grenache, the Arope. Both are 2013 vintages. Then we're moving to into the Shiraz series. And we're starting with what we call our picture series, which is, I guess, our entry-level wines. And we have the 2016 Angel Share Shiraz, which is from the McLaren Vale, and our 2016 Gnarly Dudes Shiraz from the Barossa Valley. And both of these two, Angel Share and Gnarly Dudes, are usually available in a lot of local wine stores here in the States. So people may be already familiar with them. And both of them, 2016 is a really good vintage in South Australia. So both Angel Share and Gnarly Dudes for 2016, which are released and available now, are beautiful wines from that vintage.
Looking forward to trying those. And I like the images on the labels. And I can almost hear an Australian saying, Gnarly Dudes.
Yeah, well, Michael's come up with those names. And it's a combination. Michael's a movie buff, so the dudes part of Gnarly Dudes comes from the film The Big Lebowski. And I think Jeff Bridges, if I got my movie right, played the dude. And of course, gnarly is the term that we use to describe, I think I already did earlier when we were speaking, a big old vine.
You could call the vine a dude too, I think.
Well, it's been a good dude for us. So then we moved to, I brought one of our garden series wines. This was Lily's Garden. We make 6 garden series wines, and they're all from different regions within South Australia. So Lily's Garden happens to be from the McLaren Vale. And I brought the 2015 Lily's. The 2014 vintage of Lily's Garden was recently, it made Wine Spectator's top 100 list of wines of the year. So we're pretty happy about that, and the 2015 is a beautiful wine as well. So I brought that for us to try. And then at the end, a couple of those single vineyards that we were talking about, where we get out in the Defenders and go to the vineyards. I've got one from McLaren Vale, which is called Dave's Block, and it's a Shiraz, and then one from the Barossa on Seppeltfield Road, which is called Wazzas Block, both 2015 vintages.
Nice images on those as well. Very similar to your flagship, yeah. Two Hands.
We have a lot of fun with the bottles and the images, and not taking ourselves too seriously, but also recognizing that we want it to look good and look like a luxury bottle of wine that people are happy to serve.
Yeah, the single vineyards, you're using the Bordeaux big, thick bottles.
Yeah,
and it does give it a certain class to it, doesn't it?
That it's the heaviest bottle empty that I've ever felt. A case of those empty weighs a lot, so a case of them full is very heavy.
Now, see, as an owner, you're thinking, that's a lot of expense that we don't necessarily have to be putting out there.
True, but if you're gonna sell a wine at a certain price, it needs to walk the walk.
I'll tell you what, I sure enjoyed all the wine he offered me, and he let me take them home. You can't leave the wounded soldiers behind, he said. It took about a week for us to get through them, but really enjoyed the differences and the varieties, and the single vineyard Two Hands were spectacular. He's Tim Hauer of South Australia's Two Hands Wines, and when we were off mic at one point, he was telling me about some of the scores his wines received, and I thought that was important to share with you.
We've been very fortunate, and I'm always hesitant. Whenever I present a wine, really the last thing I want to talk about is the score, because I want people to appreciate the wine and the fruit and the taste. But in the business, we do have to accept that that's a part of the game and part of the process. And you know, we actually benefit a lot from the people that review our wines and give us the scores. So, as I said, we've been very fortunate. Some of the wines you've tasted today, the two single vineyard wines, 2015 Dave's Block and 2015 Waza Block Shiraz. Both of those were 95-point wines from Wine Spectator. Nice. Lily's Garden, I mentioned earlier, the 2015 was 94 points. And the two newbies, the 2016s from McLaren Vale and Barossa, the Angel Share and Gnarly Dudes, they came in at 92 and 93 points respectively. So,
and those are $25 bottles.
Yeah. $25 for Angels, and Gnarly's closer to $30. And where I'd like to go with that is that, not focusing on scores, but I guess I would just like to encourage your listeners to give Australian wines a try. I think Australian wines got a bad reputation maybe 10 years ago, and rightly so. A lot of the wines that came over, there was a huge wave of Australian wines that came into the U.S. that were they were jammy. They were very sweet, very very jammy wines, and I don't think they were very good.
Well, at the same time, that was going on here with Zinfandels and some Cabernets as well,
I guess. And I think people tired of that. And what's being made in Australia now is very different. Our wines are very dry. They're on the bone dry side of the scale for the amount of sugars. And it's a really different wine. And I would encourage people to give it a try. Again, not harping on scores, but last year, when Wine Spectator released their summary of all the wine ratings for the year, for all wineries all over the world, Two Hands had 20, almost 20 wines, I believe. We had 15 in the mid-year report, and I think we came in at the end of the year with approximately 20. 20 of our wines received scores of 90 and above. So it's not so much the actual number of the score that matters. I think it's just a reflection of the fact that Australian wines are back, and they're different. They're worth trying. They're beautiful. They're complex. And they show the diversity of Shiraz, Cabernet, Grenache in Australia. And I think they stand up very well against wines from other parts of the world, including here in Napa.
Which leads me to ask, are all of these available to us here in the States and in California?
Well, the ones we've tasted today, most of them are available through one channel or another. The two picture series wines, Gnarly Dudes and Angel Share, they should be readily available in wine stores. Lily's Garden may also be available, but it's harder to find. But Lily's and the two single vineyard wines, Dave's Block and Waza's Block, they can be purchased online through wine.com and other online outlets.
I know these brands and varieties we're talking about are zipping past you and may be difficult to remember. You can go to my website, onthewineroad.com, and see a photo of the bottles. That'll make it easier if you decide to look for them on store shelves or order some. Tim mentioned earlier he owns a couple of vineyards, and it turns out his Kylie Vineyard was chosen for the 2018 Grenache Project, which features six different winemakers who will craft their own wine from his vineyard. I said, man, you must be honored to have been chosen.
Yeah, it is an honor, and it's going to be fun to see what they all come up with. So owning the vineyards is a sort of a different part of my life from my ownership in Two Hands. The vineyards I bought first, and I own them personally, and one of them is called Kylie's Garden. My daughter is named Kylie, so I named the vineyard after her. And on that vineyard is a small block of 50-year-old Grenache vines. They're beautiful, big, gnarly bush vines. And there's a group of winemakers in the Barossa Valley called Artisans of Barossa. And very talented. They make some great wines. And they decided to do a Grenache project where each of the six winemakers would pick fruit from the exact same vineyard, not necessarily the same day. That's up to them. And then there's no rules on how they make it. It's up to them how they want to make it. And they will then bottle them side by side. So if you buy a six-pack from the Grenache project, you'll get to try one of each of the Grenache from the different winemakers. And so it's been interesting to sort of see that process going on from the sidelines. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they come up with. They're very happy with the fruit, and I think they're going to make some beautiful Grenache wines.
What a showcase for their artistry, because no doubt they're going to taste somewhat different from one another. A couple might be pretty close, but I'm sure you can really taste the difference between one to the other.
Yeah, I think so too. And two of them got out and picked their fruit 10 days or 2 weeks before the other four. So there's definitely going to be some difference there too, because the alcohol content will probably be a little different. The flavors may be a little different. So it'll be very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
And some notoriety for your vineyard, no doubt. And I'm almost guessing that the prices for your fruit might go up a little bit in 2019.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad thing if that happens. But yeah, it's good to get the recognition, because from the side of being a grower, I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that too. I mean, that was my first passion, was owning the vineyards and getting my hands dirty, and it still is a big passion of mine. I mean, I love what I do at Two Hands. I love the team at Two Hands, and we're making beautiful wines, but I also enjoy owning the vineyards and seeing what happens with that fruit.
I mentioned to Tim that all this talk about the wine and the Barossa Valley and Two Hands Winery has got me thinking my first trip to Australia may be in order. My wife agrees. Maybe next year you'll hear me chat with Tim in South Australia. Thanks so much to Tim Hauer for his time and his wine. See his winery at twohandswines.com. And speaking of Australia, I see people from that incredible country and across the globe download and listen to my On the Wine Road podcast. I'm flattered that people from other countries are listening, so I thought I'd offer you, wherever you are, the chance to suggest either a wine-related topic or winery or winemaker you'd like me to interview. It could be in California or anywhere in the world. I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me an email to jeff@onthewineroad.com. No matter where you are, I sure appreciate the company as I travel on the wine road.